Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you stayed with me because we got our good buddy Gerald Salente back in the show, on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Gerald is a long-time, 10-plus-year member of our Brain Trust. He is a trend tracker. He won't let me call him a futurist. He says he's a trend tracker. His book, Trends 2000, it was written in the 20th century, and guess what, folks? It's a prophetic book, and it still continues to give. He is the author of the Trends Journal, which is a quarterly publication, which I don't want to do without. And he sends out trend alerts quite often on the things that he sees coming. And I'll tell you what, folks, his accuracy over the last 10 or 15 years has been mind-boggling and amazing. It's the reason why we keep hanging on to him. Gerald Salente, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff.
It's good to have you back. Gerald, I can only say that I predicted one of the things that's happening right now. I predicted in 2006 that General Motors would go bankrupt. Now, I thought they would actually go bankrupt in 2006. So I was early, but I did predict that they would, because I could see that their business model wasn't going to work. But all this other stuff, Gerald, I got to be honest with you, I didn't predict this other stuff. Now, I knew that we had some excesses in the economy, and I knew that Wall Street was working at cross purposes to Main Street, but you were a lot more granular in your predictions. You saw a lot of this coming, didn't you?
Yeah, we certainly did. We had predicted the panic of 2008. In 2004, we predicted the Great Recession of 2007, and now we're predicting the Greatest Depression. And before that happens, however,
are you still you're saying we're going to have a depression?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
There's no ifs, ands, or
why do you think that?
Well, one of the trend alerts we just sent out, we call it the bailout bubble.
Yep.
What happened? Go back to 2000. The dot-com bubble burst. The Nasdaq was the Dow of the 1929.
Right. Right.
It was a huge explosion. $5 trillion worth of equity wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than letting that equity and the market take its lumps, the Federal Reserve lowered interest rates to 46-year lows. And they created the second bubble that was bigger than the dot-com bubble, and that was the real estate bubble.
And they also did the same thing when they tried to compensate for what happened after 9/11. There was a second wave of what you just said that happened again after 9/11 to make sure that, because as you know, the economy actually flowed backwards for a little while after 9/11. And so you're right. There were actually two times when they pumped too much money in the economy.
Right. So they lowered interest rates to 46-year lows. Go out and get that home equity loan. Your house is a piggy bank. And they also, you know, people started flipping houses, getting in the speculative game, and the borrowing binge where people just boosted up retail sales. In the meantime, when there's no really recovery going on in terms of real wages and income, we're below now 1999 levels. So the other aspect that no one wants to talk about is how these leveraged buyout firms started really this merger and acquisition trend,
mm-hmm.
buying up companies with virtually no money down, speculation in commercial real estate, again, all based on cheap money.
And also re-securitizing assets that were already securitized and adding no value, and the only thing they add is their own fee structure.
You got it. So now that bubble bursts in 2008. rather than letting it burst, they're at it again, folks.
Yep.
It's the bailout bubble. If you thought the dot-com bubble was big and the real estate bubble was big, you haven't seen anything yet. They've dumped it. They're pumping in $12.8 trillion into inflating this bubble. Phantom money printed out of thin air, backed by nothing, and producing practically nothing. When this one goes, it's the big one. And after that, we go into depression.
Are you forecasting inflation?
Yes.
Hold on to that thought. We got to take a break. When we come back, folks, I told you to buckle your seatbelts. You can't say I didn't warn you. And you know, only time will tell if Gerald is correct. But his voice deserves to be heard. He's been right too many times since I've known him. 20 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Little Heartland music bringing us back. John Mellencamp. 17 till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and just spell it out, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and when you get there, you can find my knowledge base, AskJim.biz, my blog, which we update regularly, my newsletter, the archives, articles, Brain Trust members, hundreds of those, thousands of each one of the others, lots of stuff. And if you want us to follow you home, we'll do that. If you come there and find some stuff that you like, and or an idea that you like, or a certain person that you like, and you want to make sure you know the next time they're on the show, or the next time they write an article or post something, then all you got to do is subscribe there on the site, and we'll help you. We'll send it to you and follow you right home. And of course, my newsletter, check out the ability to subscribe to that. I hope you'll do that. We send that to you every Sunday afternoon. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Gerald Celente is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Don't unbuckle those seatbelts. Pull that four-point hitch tight, because anytime Gerald joins us, it's going to be a bumpy ride, because Gerald tells it like it is. He's not no respecter of persons or party or organization. He tells it like he sees it, and folks, I have to say that he sees it pretty darn clearly, and sometimes frighteningly so. Gerald, you believe that we're headed for a depression, and when do you think this is going to happen?
Well, it's starting now. Look at the unemployment numbers. There are two sets of books they keep. We have the unemployment number at 8.5, and then there's what they call the total unemployment.
Yeah.
And when you add that in, people that are no longer looking for jobs because they've been discouraged, or people that have part-time jobs want full-time, it's at around 16%, 15.8%.
Right.
And this is just beginning. We're going to see real unemployment, the total unemployment, it's going to be in the 20, over 20% level. There's no productive capacity. We need a productive capacity.
But Gerald, I'm starting to see the economy turn around a little bit. And I'm talking to people who are like you and me. They're reasonable people. These aren't starry-eyed people and not people who have any stake in saying things are better than they really are. And I'm starting to hear people being more optimistic about the economy. What are they missing?
Well, again, there should be some optimism in the terms of, look, they're pumping in over, all these trillions of dollars.
But most of that money hasn't even landed yet.
A lot of it's come in, and a lot of it in the anticipation of it coming in. So that's where the confidence of feeling better comes in.
Yeah.
And people think they're going to get a piece of it.
But see, this is what I'm upset about, Gerald, is the money that they're promising, that they're planning on spending. And I predicted this, Gerald. I said before that money hits the marketplace in any significant amount, the economy will have already healed itself, and we won't have needed that. And yet we'll get the money. It'll create inflation. And I think those policies, not the economic condition, but the policies of government, will come closer to sending us into a depression than the marketplace will.
The policies of government are what Mussolini would have called fascism, the merger of state and corporate powers.
If you're not seeing that right now, folks, I don't know what you're looking at.
Well, we're calling it right now fascism light. You know, because they're going to start taking more of our rights away. That's going to be the next.
Well, think about this. I mean, folks, I know this is a strong word. Gerald is using.
This is, you have to call a spade a spade.
I agree.
The merger of corporate and state powers.
Well, look at what happened. Look at what happened 6 weeks ago. The president of the United States fired the CEO of General Motors. What's that?
This is what we're saying.
What is that?
Telling Chrysler how big their advertising budget should be.
And telling General Motors bondholders that they have to take a lesser stake than the unions do. What is that, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, this is what we're saying, Jim. So we're in unprecedented times.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about the bailout bubble, this is very different. Because now the government has equity stakes in private enterprise. It has executive powers, management control. So in this bubble, this is the bailout bubble. And it's unfathomable to think that government, and there's not one thing that Washington could point their finger to and say, hey, look at the great success.
If you're calling
it... Look at the great job we did. The levees that we rebuilt are terrific.
Yeah.
Oh, and that new World Trade Center, 100 yeah. times better than the old one.
But, Jared, let me ask you a question. You're calling it a bubble, so that means that you think that at this moment, while we're in the bubble, you know, when things are in the bubble, things are pretty cool. It's just when the bubble bursts that you got trouble. What do you think is going to cause the bubble to burst?
Well, there's going to be, you're going to start seeing it happening on the global level. And that will be that more and more countries, as we're already seeing, are going to be dumping out of U.S. securities.
Well, there's one other thing, Gerald, and that's actually happened this week, and that's the potential downgrading of the creditworthiness of countries over the weekend? Moody's downgraded the U.K. a little bit.
And the other things are, now you're hearing from China and Brazil that they're no longer going to be using the U.S. dollar as a trade currency. So they're going to be a bailout. The big countries are trying to do it very slowly because they're holding so much of U.S. paper. So we're believers in gold, as you well know.
And you always have been.
Yeah, and we're saying gold 2000.
Really?
So the inflation comes about that a lot of commodity prices will remain low. We think oil is not going to. We said that at the beginning. We said that the bottom of oil was $35. I think it went down to 33.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see oil being strong for a variety of reasons, geopolitical among
mm-hmm.
them.
Well, and the availability, too, and the attitude, geopolitical, as you say, the attitude of politicians to go and get more oil. Stand by. Quick break. Right back after these messages. Gerald Celente, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. Don't unbuckle those seatbelts. Stay with us. I was a dandy. Yeah, welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Gerald Celente, C-E-L-E-N-T-E. That's how you spell his name. And Gerald, tell us how we can find you online, how we can find your books and your trend research.
Our website is Trends Research. That's plural, trendsresearch.com. And people can look at our Trends Journal, and they could go to our 2008 edition, for example, and see what our forecasts were, and to make up their own mind to see how accurate we were. And the motto
mm-hmm.
of the Trends Research Institute is think for yourself. So we put the information out there. We call it as we see it. You decide.
And by the way, folks, I hope you check that out. It's good stuff. And if you watch a little bit of news, the cable channels especially, you'll see Gerald on a regular basis being interviewed on those channels. Gerald, one of the things that's really been irritating me as the small business advocate, as a small business owner and somebody who advocates for small business, has been the fealty of the government to the automobile industry, for example, or to Wall Street, to the banks. And meanwhile, the people who create over half of the U.S. economy have gotten almost nothing. And not that I don't want them to pump money into small business. Mostly what I want to do is for them to get out of our way. But what I'm seeing right now is they're pumping money into these other sectors, but they're proposing things, new policies that will actually hurt small businesses. Gerald, I'm wondering what kind of game these people are watching. They don't understand the most important sector of the United States.
Not that they don't understand, it's that they're bought and paid for by big business. I mean, just look at the numbers. This isn't hyperbole. It's fact. You know, Wall Street has hijacked Washington. What I say is that what's bad for Wall Street is great for Main Street. Wall Street killed Main Street, and everybody's bowing down to Wall Street. It's the Wall Street gang. It's the Goldman gang. For example, former Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin under Clinton, CEO, Goldman Sachs. Former Treasury Secretary under Bush, Henry Paulson, Goldman Sachs. One guy sat in on the AIG bailout. Nobody even knew what an AIG was in September of 2008. The only guy outside of Treasury and the Federal Reserve, Lloyd Blankfein, Goldman Sachs, who's running AIG now for We the People, who own 80% of it.
Right.
Ed Liddy, where is he from? Goldman Sachs. Who got $13 billion to cover their losses with AIG? Goldman Sachs. No, Wall Street's hijacked Washington. And so, what they've done is they've unleveled the playing field. We're paying for their losses. Meanwhile, the mom and pops are going out of business. The tax breaks, loan guarantees, financing, it all goes to the big guys so they could maul America.
What do you think about the government's involvement with the automobile industry?
There's no business in it. You know, look, we've been taught free market capitalism is your rise and fall on your own deeds. And by their deeds, you shall know them. And the fact is that General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler were producing products that brought in high profit margins, and they weren't concerned about the future. You know, we met with Ford people. They wanted to do business with us, to do trend forecasting a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up to visit us at the Trends Research Institute. And after having lunch with them and sitting down, I said, we can't work together. I said, you people think you know more about trends than we do, and you know nothing about them.
Yeah. What do you think, Gerald, you forecasted a depression. What do you think is going to come out? What do you think capitalism is going to look like, say, 5 years from now?
Well, America, again, we're turning into the merger of state and corporate powers is called fascism. And that's what we're moving toward. We're saying right now it's fascism light. And that's what we see happening. We're going to see unemployment. As we said, crime is going to increase dramatically. It's going to be very difficult times. And what we're doing.
Do you see anything positive? Are there any bright spots in your future?
The only positive thing we need is a productive capacity. For example, go back to the 90s. It's the economy, stupid. That's what Clinton won on. What got us out of that? We had a productive capacity. It was called the Internet Revolution. Products were invented, designed, manufactured, serviced.
And see, I'm saying, Gerald,
it could happen in energy.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what I'm saying. I agree with you 100%. But we've got to promote that, not punish people. You're not going to punish people into energy innovation. You've got to promote energy innovation.
And it's not going to be in the kind that the government is doing where people are making money on it.
Right.
It's not efficient, like ethanol. It has to be something bigger, like coal fusion,
zero-point
energy.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Gerald, thanks for being here. Thanks for the cold shower today, Gerald.
Okay, man.
It's always a pleasure. Gerald Celente, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back, I promise. Check out his website and see what he has to say there. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.